is time to put away the bias, the lies, and deceit and bring forth real talk from real people about real news. Providing the out loud truth and capturing the essence of a new generation all in a fast-paced hour. This is Viewpoint This Sunday.
Welcome to another Viewpoint This Sunday. This is Malcolm Out Loud. There are a lot of questions we need to be asking ourselves right about now. Like, why aren't leaders stopping doing something to quell the violence and destruction of America's cities that are being destroyed? I know a lot of people are asking that question. Why are violent gangs like Black Lives Matter and Antifa and other groups being allowed to take hold in our cities? Why are political groups floating the idea out there that Trump may have a landslide victory election night, but days later it will be overturned, declaring Joe Biden the winner? Why are tech giants like Facebook, Microsoft, Apple, and Google calling the shots on whatever they deem election interference? And why are political leaders now not following the laws they create? That's the ultimate question, isn't it? All of this is under the guise of election shenanigans, and that is the topic of Viewpoint this week, my friends. Welcome to the program here. So I want to start with an audio clip here. I'd like you to listen to this from a very famous, popular political figure, which you've heard many times over the years, but listen to the words that she uses just this past week here.
So we've got to have a massive legal operation, and I know the Biden campaign is working on that, the force of intimidation that the Republicans and Trump are going to put outside polling places. You know, Joe Biden should not concede under any circumstances, because I think this is going to drag out, and eventually I do believe he will win if we don't give an inch.
And joining us on the program is Dr. James Mitchell. Dr. Mitchell has a PhD in clinical psychology, served 22 years in the U.S. Air Force, retired as a lieutenant colonel. Dr. Mitchell was involved in the development of the CIA's enhanced interrogation program, interrogated 14 of the most senior high-value detainees in U.S. custody. You recall the big book he wrote, Enhanced Interrogation, and certainly a piece of America's history here. Part of the reason I wanted to have Dr. Mitchell on is really talk about some of this domestic terrorism and all that. But before we go there, Jim, I'd like to start with this interesting audio clip we just played of Hillary Clinton here. It seems like there's a lot to this story, actually, that we need to be aware. And it seems like people are putting their chips down already. There's a top Democratic data and analytics firm, which is called Hawkfish. And they are saying that President Trump will appear to have won potentially in a landslide on election night. And that, but ultimately, days after, within the week or so, you know, 4, 5, 6 days later, once they count those votes, they're saying that Joe Biden will be declared the winner. Very interesting, and there's a lot more to this story. Hawkfish, by the way, is funded by Michael Bloomberg, to give you an idea. And they do work for the Democratic National Committee and pro-Biden super PACs. How concerned should we be with that story, you think?
I think what they're doing is signaling what they hope will happen. You know, they're signaling what they would like, how they would like things to play out and what their intentions are. You know, Hillary Clinton said, you know, don't give an inch. Well, she hadn't given an inch since she lost. And she would still have the votes we counted today if she could. So that's the sort of mentality that you're dealing with. So they've got an army of lawyers, and they're hoping that what they can do is see how far behind they are on election day once the votes are counted, and then find those whatever the difference is in votes that they need in the trunk of some city official's car, or, you know, or maybe Don Lemon's car over at CNN, and they can take them in and reverse the election results. And you know, I suspect that if we know that, then certainly the federal government knows that, and certainly the DOJ knows that, and they should be very cautious about any of these shenanigans that are likely to take place.
Yeah, what you lay out there, the discussion, the strategy, you just say, is exactly claims of what happened in 2018 with the midterm and how they turned the House and a lot of those congressional seats. Certainly there were claims of that in California and in other areas of the nation. But that was one of the difficulties right there that came to light. I don't think I've seen, certainly in my memory, Jim, where a political leader of a party like this would say, don't concede the election. I mean, listen to those words. I mean, just listen to those words. Don't concede the election under any condition, Joe Biden. I mean, that is very grave for our republic, I think.
Well, it just demonstrates what a angry, bitter shrew she actually is. You know, the idea that the election can be reversed by the tactical application of ballot harvesting is something that all Americans should be concerned about, because if the Democrats can do it, then the Republicans can do it. You know, if the leftists can do it, then the conservatives can do it. And so the way to avoid this is for as many people who are conservatives as possible to get out and vote in person. Or if you're going to vote by mail, be sure that you follow all the rules and be sure that you get it in on time. But what I would hope is that the federal government wouldn't allow some of these shenanigans to take place. I mean, in the from some of the local 2018 elections, it was clear that there was all kinds of voter fraud taking place via mail-in voting. And you can say that didn't happen all you want to, but it was in Democrat sections, and it was absolutely the case. I mean, it's pretentious to imagine that that wasn't the case, or even to claim that it wasn't. But that's been really the focus of the leftists for quite some time, is they do something and then tell you that's not what they did.
It seems like we're headed toward some sort of an event. At least a lot of people are saying that, Jim, from what I'm hearing in many, many different circles at high levels, that, you know, people are nervous that we're headed somewhere between now and, let's say, January. Do you have a sense of that at all?
Well, I suspect that things will get worse before they get better. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're going to get more and more desperate the closer we get to the election. Hmm. And so we're apt to see a lot more efforts to intimidate and coerce people into either not voting or to try to influence the policies that the government put in place. I mean, that's part of what's going on in the streets today. And it will probably ratchet up before it gets any better.
Wow. Back to what you're saying there, the ratcheting it up. Let's talk about the incidents and the domestic terrorism, is the way I would phrase it anyways, that is happening. And this is really, to me, one of the big election issues as well. So we all know that on May 25th, George Floyd, that situation happened in Minneapolis. And that was the spark that they were, and I would say to you, many people would suggest, Jim, they were waiting for something. Because if you read back into the history of Black Lives Matter and Antifa, there is a lot of evidence out there. I'm talking several years ago, where they were waiting for just this kind of a moment. And I mean, I've read the research and the data on this, and it's a fact. And then on August 23rd, there was in Kenosha, Wisconsin, there was the Jacob Blake. You're seeing an uprising in our cities from these gangs and these terror groups. What do you make of this right now? And what have you seen something like this before?
Well, it's a little bit reminiscent of the Weather Underground and some of the other groups in the late 60s who were trying to influence America and sort of overthrow our current government, and that got beat down. These folks don't go away. They just develop different strategies for doing it. And so, yeah, I agree. They're probably waiting for something that they could serve as a trigger. You know, they would like you to think that these groups like Antifa or autonomous groups that spontaneously rise up, but we know that's not the case. That isn't the case. They're primary folks who support these groups. And if you imagine a series of concentric rings, you have the foot soldiers who are out on the ground doing things, but you have all of those people who provide financial support and legal support. And, you know, even the woman who wants to be our vice president of the United States, Kamala Harris, her folks were providing bails for some of the worst criminals that were doing things in Seattle and Portland. And so you have this network of people who make this possible. In my view, this isn't going to go away because you arrest somebody that's throwing a frozen water bottle at a cop. It's going to go away when you start arresting the organizers, when you start arresting the people who finance it, because they're actually on the books now. There is a law that the federal government can use. It's Title 18, Section 2101 of the U.S. Criminal Code, and it criminalizes the interstate travel or the use of interstate commerce, including mail, telephone, radio, television, et cetera, with the intent to incite a riot, organize a riot, promote a riot, encourage a riot, participate in, carry on, commit any act of violence. And I'm not going to read the whole thing, but that's the charge. That's the code that current folks are being charged in for federal crimes that are being picked up in Portland and Seattle and these other places when the feds charge them with a crime. And I think that they ought to include those people who are committing the worst crimes on the street, but also target those people who are funding it, because ultimately you have to cut the head off the snake. And as long as you allow those folks who are funding it and organizing it and planning these things to just bring in new recruits, because we seem to have an unlimited supply of young white 23-year-old women who want to burn down black-owned businesses to further their own political objectives and claim they're doing it in the, you know, in the support of Black Lives Matter, then they're going to be able to continue to do this. They're just going to replace one rioter with another rioter. But if you start taking down the people who are in charge of the thing and funding the thing, then this stuff will die out.
So on the basis of what you say there, a lot of people keep waiting for Attorney General William Barr. I'm seeing a lot of discussion there about, like, okay, so there are some days folks think that he's moving and something's going to happen. The other shoe will drop shortly. Back to what you just said, back to the organizers. Now, it's pretty clear at this point, and I think you've just laid it out there well, that these are organizers behind this. There's money behind this because they're being flown across country from spots like Seattle, Portland, into D.C. and New York to further the uprisings. Many cases, they have audio devices in their ears. They're taking instructions from others. There's videos and pictures of all of this happening. There's bricks and water bottles and all kinds of things being delivered to specific areas. Clearly, there's money and organization behind this. I think what most people are asking is, what the hell is taking so long? Why has not our government and the Department of Justice done something? Why are they letting our cities and everything to crumble in the way that it's happening, Jim? Any theory as to why this is? Is there some magic day or moment that we're going to wake up and they're going to have it licked here and say, you know, we finally got it all here. We cut the head of the snake off. Well, what gives here?
Well, part of it is actually, as much as it annoys me, the Constitution. You know, the Constitution says that state and local law enforcement officials are primarily responsible to investigate, arrest, and prosecute the people who violate state law, you know, and the Posse Comitatus Act prevents the president from sending in military folks, except for the National Guard, if it's requested by the, you know, by the governor of the state. He can do that, or if he declares an insurrection. The difficulty with that is, I think that's a trap. I agree with Rush Limbaugh. I think what they're trying to do is bait him into sending in the military or the National Guard without it being requested. And then there's going to be a violent confrontation. And then they're going to go, oh, look at Mr. Mean, President Trump. He doesn't care. He's killing these peaceful protesters. I suspect that these things will go away when I think that something horrific will probably happen in one of these protests. So horrific that what will happen is the Democrats and the liberals who are supporting them will not want to be associated with it. They will withdraw their support for them. And then the people who they have egged on to do these things will suddenly find themselves in a deep kimchi without the fallback that they've had. You know, if you look at what they're doing in Portland, they're picking people up for felonious assault and letting them go within an hour, and they go back out and do it again. If you're the guy on the street or the gal on the street who's doing that, if you're beating a policeman in the head with a club, you get picked up, you're taken in, they let you go, you think you got away with that. And it doesn't deter you from doing it next time. It inspires you to continue to do it because you get the accolation of the group and the illusion that you have the support of ordinary people when you don't have that support. And so what I think is going to happen is eventually they're going to do something so horrific that either the governors are going to ask for federal support, which is the way that it actually should occur, right? Unless it's just so horrific that Portland decides to secede from the union. And eventually this thing will get tamped down. Mm-hmm. Because the only thing that keeps this stuff from actually flaring up, it's like a cold sore. It's like a herpes virus. It never really goes away. It just goes into hiding. Leftist groups have been trying to destroy America ever since America was founded, you know, and most of it comes from the Democrat Party. And so I think that eventually we're just going to have to allow enough of this to play out, hold our noses and allow enough of this to play out so that the groups who are supporting these people realize, uh-oh, now I'm in trouble. And you can do that either because they do something horrific that you don't want to be associated with, or because they begin to arrest those people who are privileged and who are higher up in the chain, who expect to be able to operate with impunity. And then they realize, oh, this is not about getting donations from somebody, you know, 17, 18, 25, $30 million that I can feed to these things. The government is coming after my coffers now, and so I need to stop this.
Yeah. The president is damned if he does and damned if he doesn't. And back to what you referenced a little bit ago, and you brought it up before I even asked you the question about the Insurrection Act of 1807, which does allow the president to empower those troops when these kinds of things are happening, as you just referenced in Portland or Seattle or Chicago, New York, wherever. But you lay out a very compelling argument there to say why he isn't, because if he does, you're right, they're going to call him, because they've kind of laid a lot of those seeds down already with the public, and they pointed out to their people that, okay, this president is a control freak and a dictator, and he's going to do things, and they want those videos and photographs, you're saying. Now, so is that the primary reason? Think about what we just laid out, which is pretty strong. Is that the primary reason, do you believe, when I asked that question right up front of the program here about local leaders, the mayors, the governors of a lot of these markets, which is continually pointed out that are Democrat strongholds, is that the primary reason they're standing back, standing down, and allowing their cities to be, I mean, really destroyed? I mean, vandalism and the millions and millions of dollars, businesses lost, livelihoods destroyed, people hurt.
And mostly in the most vulnerable communities, mostly in the Black communities and in the immigrant communities, you know. And in fact, as you realized, undoubtedly from the news, as soon as they started attacking the Portland mayor's condo, he moved out. You know, and in Chicago, she surrounded herself with armed policemen so they couldn't get onto her block. So they set themselves aside. But I don't think that here's what I believe the primary reason is they're allowing this to happen. It's because they want the economy to be in the toilet on election day. They want all of this political unrest to be happening on election day because they are under the, I hope, mistaken idea that if the world appears to be in chaos and the economy isn't recovering, then people will want to vote Trump out. See, it's about hope and fear. You know, they're trying to provide the hope that if you just vote Trump out, that this problem will go away, and the fear that if you don't vote Trump out, that it'll continue, when it's actually the opposite. Because once they realize that the way to intimidate you into giving them power is to create chaos and to use violence as a way of interceding in the election and trying to coerce people and intimidate people into voting for leftists, then that's what they're going to do every time. And it won't be long that we'll end up being like Venezuela. And if I could make one more point about these riots, when people look at these riots, and these clashes between Antifa and Black Lives Matter and the police, it looks like chaos, but it's actually not chaos. You know, they herd these peaceful protesters in there, like on cowboy movies, they used to stampede cattle. And then in the context of doing that, you have these people who have their own specific jobs. You know, you have people whose job it is to build fires, whose job it is to stand outside as far as you can and throw bottles and umbrellas and other things at policemen. Then you have people whose job it is to run in when the cops try to stop them and try to prevent the arrest, to hit them in the eyes with lasers and to pretend to be medics and sometimes treat injuries, but also intercede to try to prevent them from being arrested. And then people to build barricades and to signal when more folks are coming through. So it's not chaos. It's actually an organized attack. Everybody has a very specific job, and there's a person in the middle of this thing, or several people in the middle of this thing, who are sometimes called flag bearers, who signal and move people around to try to create the situation where it's going to be most volatile. I think you arrest those people and you hold them accountable, and then you go after the people who are funding them.
Yeah, problem is we're running out of time here because the election is coming quickly, and the uncertainty of all the things we just discussed, as well as the hurt and the pain they're trying to inflict on the American people, aka also President Trump, so that, again, election chances would decline for him. It's also the reason why most of the blue cities and states have not opened up with this pandemic business, which is a whole nother conversation. But listen, when you hear Hillary Clinton in front of the program I just played, you hear others, they're not going to concede. That's all. You talk about signaling. I mean, that is more than that. And that's a message right there to the public and to her people that they're ready to uprise and take this back, whatever it takes. Do you believe that we are headed toward a point of major conflict just probably after this election?
I think there's certainly the risk for that, but what I would say to those people who are trying to overthrow ordinary Americans, because I have a great deal of faith in ordinary Americans, is that if you don't want to talk to the genie, don't rub the lamp, because it was ordinary Americans who threw off the bondage from Britain, and it's ordinary Americans who have won every war, not the politicians. You know, it's ordinary Americans who have fought and died to keep this country free. And so my take on this thing is I have a great deal of faith in ordinary Americans, and if it comes to that, you know, it'll come to that, and we'll take it back in the streets.
Yeah, take it back in the streets there. You listen to Dr. James Mitchell, and you just, there's a lot we just got out of what we just talked about here, which should get everybody thinking here moving forward. We'll continue on, friends, in just a moment after this pause here as Viewpoint rolls up.
The America Out Loud Talk Radio app is on Android or Apple. It's the perfect way to listen in to the new generation of talk shows and hosts who are ready to inform and inspire.
All the war on America's cities and claims of racism in the ranks of law enforcement have spirited a renewed debate on racial equality. It was Alexis de Tocqueville who reminded us Americans are so enamored of equality, they would rather be equal in slavery than unequal in freedom. To which I say, be warned of the shiny object, America. AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. Well, it's a fight for the soul of humanity. Well, we've heard the whole story about an October surprise, and you might have heard maybe a September surprise and then a November surprise. And I think right about now you can anticipate, my fellow Americans, that there'll be a surprise about every week. And that's, I think, where the stakes are, which you just heard us talk about in the opening sequence of the show here. There's going to be a lot of things happen between now and November, and it will continue after that point as well. Let's start here. There's so much to talk about right now, and I want to start with a lot of these. You know, one of the questions I pose to you all up front is political leaders who don't follow their own advice or their own laws. I mean, does that really rub you all the wrong way or what? I mean, come on. You know, and of course, we can start with the salon visit, but there is much more there. Let's bring on Bob France. Bob is the morning news talk host at WHKAM 1420 in Cleveland, Salem Media. Just excited to always have Bob with me here. So, Bob, this salon visit was something else here. So the salon owner had had enough. She had seen really, you know, the double standard and the talk that these people put out there. And she decided, you know what? She threw herself right on the fire. I mean, she released the whole video. And of course, you know, she knows, the congresswoman knows, the speaker knows that you're not even supposed to be inside the building, let alone have a mask, let alone, you know, getting the blow drying of the hair. And everything was wrong about that trip. And she had the audacity to come out and say that she wanted an apology from the owner. You ever say anything like this?
Yes. about 3 weeks or 3 months ago, if you recall. That's the funny part about this, Malcolm, is, you know, the complete, how out of touch these people are. It just happened in April. Lori Lightfoot, the mayor of Chicago, right after they instituted their massive lockdown and they shut all of these quote unquote non-essential businesses down, including salons for hair and nails and so on and so forth. And she was busted inside one of those getting her hair done. And you recall what she said? She said, well, I'm the face of this city. I have to look good. I take my hygiene, she said, very seriously. So, you know, what I need to do isn't what everybody else needs to do. I'm a little more important than everybody else in Chicago. So when Nancy Pelosi did this, it's just par for the liberal course. What is right for me is not right for thee. That is just their mindset. The thing that makes this one so egregious is what you said at the end, that she literally is saying they owe me an apology because I was duped. I was told that they could allow one person in at a time. Well, if that was the case, Nancy Pelosi, then why wouldn't they be open and scheduling people one person at a time? Obviously, she knew the law. She broke the law. And then rather than just saying, you know what, I really made an error in judgment there, it's my mistake, mm-hmm. She tries to throw the owner of the salon under the bus. And it worked. She's getting hit with negative Yelp reviews. Everybody criticizes
majorly, majorly. She has to move. They say she's got to move out of the market there.
That's right. Well, why would she want to stay? She doesn't want to stay. And You know what? The good news, Malcolm, is a GoFundMe account thus far, and I read this yesterday, so hopefully it's bigger, has already raised around $145,000 for her. Mm-hmm. So Hopefully she can go ahead and find another location where they don't have hypocrisy like that.
Yeah, and there's so many reports of this, Bob. And like you say, you can go on and on. You point out Lightfoot a moment ago, which is perfect, but there was also the Democrat Philadelphia mayor, Jim Kenney. He was called out for, you know, again, the do as I say, right, not as I do. He imposed all these restrictions against indoor dining, and then he's spotted having a beautiful dinner at a Maryland restaurant right across the line there, and says, oh, you know, everything's fine here. Then you got, you know, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, you know, same sort of thing. He was, about a month earlier than where he was caught hugging the mayor, you might remember, of Savannah, Georgia. That was another story, Mayor Van Johnson, and giving him hugs and really close to him. This is after he was reading the riot act to people, telling them to don't get in close range, don't touch anybody, keep your mask on, shut the hell up, move along, on and on and on. And of course, the biggest one, Bill de Blasio, don't go to the park, don't go outside, he's out in the park. Do you think, I mean, do their people, I mean, I guess the big thing is, I mean, certainly the right is onto this thing and knows, but what about the left and the Democrats and their constituents? Do they know what's going on here? I mean, do they see all this? Do they just ignore it?
Well, I mean, you know, the leftist media ignores it. And so therefore the leftist citizens and voters essentially, you know, treat it as a non-story. Now, can you imagine, just to say that Nancy Pelosi is the Speaker of the House of Representatives. She's third in line to the presidency. Melania Trump is just the first lady. She has no official authority whatsoever. But can you imagine, Malcolm, if Melania Trump had gone into a salon and gotten a haircut and a hair wash and a blowout or whatever they call it? Can you imagine the left going ballistic? But here is the Speaker of the House of Representatives flouting the law and essentially saying, I'm more important, in the same way that Kenny and de Blasio and Cuomo, and you're right to list all of them, they all have one thing in common. They're liberal Democrats, so the law doesn't apply. If you let any Republican, imagine if Kristi Noem, the governor in South Dakota, or if anybody else had done this that was a Republican, it would just be over for them. But the way that it is, the double standards that exist, Democrats don't have to be held accountable for their misdeeds.
And Bob, what you're talking about is so bad because, you know, we sit and we talk about these things like we're doing now, Bob, and the common denominator, Bob, on all these stories, which is really disgusting. I mean, it's no laughing matter. And I'm not going to laugh about it because it makes me really sick to my stomach. Is the media. That is really the common denominator of everything we talk about. The fact that they are up to no good and they report only what they want to report, because what you just said is so accurate. If that Republican governor did any of this, by golly, Bob, that would be a headline story and every media publication, you'd hear it from here to kingdom come, right?
That is the key. You know, I mean, you know, we all talk, you know, President Trump gets hit all the time for calling the media the enemy of the people. But this is exactly what he means. They are not treating the people fairly. They are not giving the people all of the information in the same way they would cover a Republican in such a scandal. They need to cover the Democrats. And when they don't, they are doing a disservice to the people. And when you're doing a disservice to the people, in my view, you really are an enemy of those people.
God, Bob, it's outrageous. I mean, everyone out there should be so outraged at what we're talking about right now. So let's talk about this next one here. And so Moderna, they are rushing to market to get this vaccine out there. Again, it's a very hot potato political issue. It's being promised all the way from the White House all the way down. And so what's happening now is, and a lot of people don't want to touch this story, and a lot of Republicans and conservatives don't want to touch this story either because of what I just said, because it's a very hot potato kind of story, Bob. But what's happening with Moderna right now, there's no phase 3 testing being properly done, and they're ready to roll things out, and they're trying to bypass all of this now and get this out there. We've already seen vaccines fail in the past, and people lose their life on this kind of nonsense here. I think we're sort of playing with fire here, are we not?
We are, if they try to rush something out and it is not tested fully and it does not go through its phase 3 trials, randomized trials, but they don't have to. And that's what makes this such a scandal in my mind. Right. You know, the fact that they know that whoever is the first one to come out, people are going to jump on and there are going to be massive amounts of sales. A vaccine is here, a vaccine is here, a vaccine is here. And even if it doesn't go through the proper channels and the proper protocols, people are going to want to buy it, which is why back in May, their stock soared. I mean, their stock just went through the roof and they knew it and they didn't even have a product to sell yet. They had no product to sell, but they said that we're getting close. And everybody said, oh my God, Moderna's going to have the patent. Moderna's going to have the answer. And so their stock went through the roof just on speculation and all of their chief executives sold their stock. I mean, millions and millions of dollars in profits were made when they didn't even have a product to sell. So I don't know that they're ever actually going to roll out a vaccine. I don't know that we have to worry about the safety yet. They just tease it. And they've got a reputation enough that people believe it and they buy that stock thinking I'm going to get rich because this is the company that's going to roll it out.
You know, why can't you and I roll a story out and do the same thing and get rich, Bob? Do a joint partnership of some sort maybe, huh?
I love the idea. But, you know, the one thing, Moderna's a massive company with a long history. So, you know, if you have... If anybody believed us, Malcolm, if anybody said, wow, those guys know what they're doing, I'm in.
Exactly. I was going to say.
Moderna's got the reputation. Yeah.
Well, listen, the whole thing, I mean, I think many conservatives are not excited about. I mean, I, for one, would never have. I mean, I wouldn't take a vaccine based on what I've looked at and what I've studied. If there was a check associated with it, then they deliver the check with me and the vaccine from any of these cats. I would not take it or touch it with a 10-foot pole. Would you?
No, not until 2, 3, 4 years of long-term side effects are known or whatever the case might be, what reactions people have. I'm not touching any of those things because we've seen enough vaccine problems, again, that aren't known right away. The effects are not known right away. They're known after the fact. So, and the fact, Malcolm, is, and the CDC is reporting this now, you know, that 90 4% of those people who have died with COVID-19 died of other comorbidities. Only 6% died of only COVID, and all of those kinds of things. So to me, why would I take a vaccine for something that has a 99% plus survival rate anyway?
You know, based on those numbers and them trying to tout that it's over 190,000, 200,000 dead, Bob, I would suggest to you, and this may not sound nice, but I think we've just lived through one of the biggest scams of the century. Tell me I'm wrong.
Well, I can't tell you you're wrong. Not when literally just yesterday I became aware of a story, and maybe you saw this yourself, of a man whose mother died back in February, who just received a notification in the mail that said her June COVID-19 test is positive. This is this literally just came down yesterday. It's in Shelby County, which is Memphis, Tennessee. Mm-hmm. This man's mother died 6 months ago. The health department just sent her a letter saying you're COVID positive. You need to quarantine. Well, she's been quarantined for the last 6 months in a box, in a grave. This is the kind of thing. I do not trust one iota of the numbers they're telling us of positive cases. I don't trust the number of deaths. I don't trust the fact that people died of COVID rather than with COVID. None of it. And I'm not saying there isn't a virus.
That's right.
I'm not saying the virus itself is a hoax, but what they have done to oversell this is absolutely criminal.
Yeah. See, I mean, it's it, my friend. I can't say it any better than that. One of the things is a lot of these groups like Facebook, Google, Microsoft, Twitter, they teamed up to form a coalition ahead of the 2020 presidential election. This was a New York Times report this past month here in August. And they've started to determine what's going to be permissible to put on their platforms and what's not. I mean, they are absolutely being publishers. You know, these people are really lit coming into 2020. We talk about election shenanigans, Bob. And now you see Facebook bans new political ads the week before the election was another big story with Zuckerberg. And he comes out and says, well, they're going to call the shots and determine they don't want any political ads up there. How concerned are you, Bob, and where is this story going with these tech giants in our election?
Well, if you're not extraordinarily concerned, then you're just not paying attention. There's two things I'll say in response. I could talk for an hour and a half about this. You could, too. But as far as Facebook, let's tie this back into the last story we were just talking about the CDC. That CDC story about 6% and 94% was blocked by Facebook. They covered it over. People were taking screenshots of the CDC website. They're not writing their own, you know, view of this or version of this. They're taking screenshots of the CDC talking about the 94% and 6% as far as deaths. And Facebook is covering over them, calling this fake news, false information.
Bob, how do they get away with it? How do they get away with this?
Well, it's their platform. It's their platform. And the bottom line is, anytime they're called to account for this, when they're called into Washington to testify before one government or one congressional subcommittee or another, they get scolded, they get finger wagged, and then there's no follow through as far as what penalties they'll pay. So that's just Facebook. They literally covered over the CDC's own words saying that's not true. Then you take Google, and Tucker Carlson had a story on this past week, you know, where he showed video, which we have seen before, of Google executives literally saying that we got screwed over in 2016 in the election. What are we going to do to prevent that from happening again? Meaning prevent free elections, a democratic vote that elected Donald Trump. What are we going to do to prevent that again? And then specifically, quote, we will promote better quality of governance and decision making in our search algorithms. So in other words, Google has said they're changing their algorithm, which is what, of course, you know, Google is the first choice of all search engines. No disrespect to Bing or any of the others, but Google became a verb because this is all anybody ever uses. They changed their algorithms to present only what they believe will lead to a better quality of governance and decision-making. And that means liberal Democrat positive stories will be first results. And if you want to look for something pro-Trump, you want to look for something pro-Republicans and other races, you're going to have to keep on hunting. And it may or may not find its way down to the very end of the search results. And I will tell you this. I know this is true because and you probably did this too, Malcolm, during the DNC, if you go to Google and search DNC 2020, the first thing you're going to get is, oh, this beautiful speech by Barack Obama, beautiful speech by Michelle Obama, by Joe Biden, et cetera, et cetera. I did the same thing for my radio show during the RNC. And the first thing that showed up on Google was fact-checking the RNC. RNC gave a lot of misinformation. Yeah. RNC lied here, there. You know, this speech was wrong, that speech was wrong. So this is the same search engine literally trying to push you into supporting the Democrat Party.
Yeah. I mean, Bob, that's a perfect example of what you just say right there. And everybody can go try that, what he's saying. He's absolutely right, because when I typed the election in just like you did, Bob, I seen all that fact-checking come right up and talking about everything that was wrong with the RNC. And so this is as clear as day. It's as clear as the nose on our face. And yet they continue on doing it, trying to sway public opinion. And now let's talk about this other story, Bob. We're talking about swaying public opinion again, about Jeffrey Goldberg in The Atlantic here, please, which is, you know, this is a story that I know we need to cover, but it makes me sick because every hour on the hour, you can set your watch to it, Bob, on any media, including your Fox News and the rest of the despondent media nut jobs. And they continue to remind you that Trump, this non-story story. So this is a story that ran in The Atlantic, claiming the president referred to our military as losers and suckers back a couple of years ago in that Paris Cemetery deal. Now, but, you know, listen, if a story is a story, Bob, if a story is true, tell us who said it. Stop the nonsense with this unclaimed, anonymous sources rubbish here. You might as well have said you got a call from Satan or you got a call from some unknown. I mean, stop feeding us this line that people said this, that, and the other and not giving us any more information. When you look at this story, there's so much wrong with it, and yet this is what they're putting out there now as a story. And I got to tell you, Bob, a lot of Americans that are in that middle aisle, they may start to believe this. This is very dangerous.
Malcolm, this is something you better get used to, because I think what we are in for, Cheryl Atkinson pointed this out, that Atkinson, the investigative reporter, pointed out that the next 60 days are going to be filled with coordinated surprise slander like this. People are going to grow very weary of trying to disprove. People are just going to start accepting it. There's another one. And the coordinated attack of this one should be noted. Breitbart did a really great timeline on this. This article by Goldberg in The Atlantic was published Thursday evening. By Friday morning, a very well-produced television ad had been created, produced, and run on Morning Joe on MSNBC. Now, how does that happen unless they are working together, unless Goldberg and The Atlantic coordinated with his folks at the DNC and their friends at the MSDNC, which, of course, is the network, and CNN and so on and so forth. So this is what they do. Never mind the fact that people who hate Donald Trump, like John Bolton, who wrote an entire book slamming Donald Trump, said, you know, I was there the entire time. I did not hear any such thing. Now, this is a guy who has no reason to defend Donald Trump whatsoever.
The fight of our lifetime as we continue on here. Big thank you to Bob France. Love having this man on. He is a measure of truth, as you can hear here. So let's move on here now. I want to talk about, again, election shenanigans here. More election myths and lies. Very interesting segment coming up here. And with Ava Armstrong, stay right there, friends. More Viewpoint in just a moment.
We are the vision of the voices. You can email us at talk@americaoutloud.com.
Did you know the average person spends 26 years of their life sleeping? The real troubling statistic is that we spend 7 years of our life trying to get to sleep, struggling with racing minds, tossing and turning. If you're one of the millions of Americans who need better quality sleep, the time to change is now. Sleep is proven to extend our lifespan, protect against terrible diseases like cancer, heart disease, and dementia, make us more attractive and thinner, feel calmer and happier, and boost energy levels, memory, and performance. Until now, most sleep supplements haven't worked, but a new, easy-to-swallow sleep gel, invented by the leading nutrition company, Healthy Cell, is designed to support all four stages of human sleep to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake up refreshed. It's called REM Sleep. To get a free two-night supply of REM sleep, visit healthycell.com/sleep. That's healthycell.com/sleep.
There are so many untruths, which is really the theme of this entire program today. Election myths, lies, and too many countless untruths to get into. Ava Armstrong joins me next. Ava's a political commentator, radio personality here at America Out Loud. She is a great author. Her books are in the America Out Loud bookstore and on Amazon. And she focuses on patriotic stories and real-life heroes and people who are our audience, people out there that are doing their thing and living their life in the fullest way that they can. All right, Ava, this mail-in universal voting versus absentee voting. The story with Hawkfish, the Democrat analysis, who says this could change election night to thereafter here. And you see a lot of this has been laid down over the past many weeks now through the Democrat sources here. What's your take on how serious this is with the way people are voting and what they say with election night?
Well, I'm very concerned about the way the media is spinning this. They're making it sound like it's, you know, very easy to do and there won't be any problem. But one thing that the media is not telling people is there's no chain of custody on your vote. So in other words, if you vote absentee, you go down to your city hall or wherever you vote and you fill out a ballot and there's a signature of the person who you handed the ballot to and the envelope is sealed and it's not counted until election time. So none of that happens when you have a mail-in vote. So you don't really know anything about who handles the vote after you mail it. And there's an awful lot of fraud that can take place. So I would highly recommend that nobody vote via mail. I mean, do it absentee if you can't go on voting day.
Right. So absentee would still be by mail. People get confused with that, but it's because you requested the ballot and it's legit, right?
Yes. And it's helpful if you can show up at your, you know, city hall and just fill the ballot out right there and then hand it over and you see the envelope get sealed and they stamp it. And so you know that that's, you know, the chain of custody is intact.
You know, this is kind of really one of the biggest moments. And a lot of this happened. I was just talking about France about that. At the 2018 midterm election, there were a lot of shenanigans happening with the mail-in voting and all of this stuff that we're talking about right now. In fact, if you remember, they started looking for votes in car trunks and things of that nature, which translated into changing election night victories to Democrats, which is how they lost a lot of seats in California and won the House back, Ava.
That's because they did ballot harvesting. It's legal to do ballot harvesting in California. Mm-hmm. In other states, it's not, to my knowledge. I don't believe it is, so.
Have you ever seen a moment of time quite like we're looking at right now with the sort of edginess and uncertainty out there where like something is coming about, like we're headed somewhere to some sort of a flashpoint or destination? What does that look like and are you concerned with that?
Yes, I am very concerned. There have been other times like this in our history, believe it or not. And, you know, back in the 1800s, there was violence and there were elections that were very much contested. However, we need to make voting a safe place for people to go. And my biggest concern right now, and I hope President Trump will pay attention to this, is safety at the polling places, at the voting places on election day. We need to make sure that we have people there. I don't know if there'll be armed guards or military people or some such situation where people will feel safe going into the polling place, casting their vote and leaving. And I have a feeling, this is a gut feeling on my part. I think the Democrats have violence planned for that day. And
well,
I'm very concerned.
On that point, let me say something to you. I received a comment or report in about kind of what you're talking about. And that is this, that the groups of Antifa that you've been hearing so much about or Black Lives Matter groups and radical extremist kind of groups that you're seeing that are creating the violence and the vandalism in our cities, right, as we speak here, that these groups, I've heard reports, are planning to be outside of some of the polling places you're speaking about right now to sort of make people nervous or to threaten folks. There'll be a little distance from the polling place, but enough to scare people from voting. Is that the kind of sort of thing you're thinking about?
Exactly. And what that will do is it will interfere with our constitutional right to vote. So this is something, like I said, I hope President Trump has some plan in place to somehow make it safe for people who arrive at the polling places to vote on November 3rd.
Yeah, but once he does that, and whatever he does, you know that they're going to call him out. The media and the left will call him out for trying to scare people at the voting booths. And I mean, you're going to hear that story. You know that.
Yes, but I think people can relate. I mean, whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, there's one thing that you want, and that's the ability to go and place your vote. So I think overall, I think the country has seen enough of this violence and they're terrified when they see it.
Right.
You know, you don't want to have to carry a gun to the polling place to vote. Mm-hmm. I would, but you know, most people,
some people
wouldn't.
May. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, you mentioned a moment ago, and I so appreciate it when you said, you know, Malcolm, we've had other moments like this in our history. It's not the first time we've had violence, and it's been referenced to me in past days. You go back to even recent times in the 60s with the violence mm-hmm. there. But you mentioned the 1860s. And that was about 100 years later than the 1960s, where we had some, you know, some real challenging moments here. Anything different about this right now? And in other words, when you talk about, I love the way you say about making voting safe. Do you think that this could be just another moment in time, another 1960 moment, another 1860 moment, another something that we will get over? Or is there more concern you have?
I'm concerned, yes. I think this will be one for the history books, definitely, this election coming up. And I'm very concerned that there will be violence. I mean, I'm going on just what I know right now, what I've seen happening in cities throughout the country. And there's nobody stopping the violence. So I'm very concerned about that happening on voting day. And, you know, this is what the Democrats, they're going to pull out all stops. You know, the last 30 days, it's going to be very, very bad. Just expect that.
Well, that's exactly it, which is the answer to the question. Is it going to get worse before it gets better? You're saying
yes.
It will.
Yes, yeah. I do yeah. believe so.
Yeah, but as we do that and we continue to move along toward the election, you're seeing a lot of the media play into this. And we were just talking about that in the program, about the media, how they're swaying things and how, like, for instance, to give you an example, we were just discussing, Bob and I, if you put in something about the RNC versus the DNC would come up and tell you what a brilliant job Biden did. If you put it in the RNC, you'd get all the fact-checking things come up telling you there were a lot of lies and innuendos there and discussions. I mean, that's the sort of thing where you can taint things just through the measure of search engines and through Google. But then you've got Facebook putting their hands on the scale. You've got Twitter, you've got Google, you've got Microsoft and Apple doing the same thing here. This is a big problem, isn't it?
That is my biggest concern, actually, and that's why I'm on here talking with you today. Because in the past, when we had these violent eruptions in our history, we did have a media. We had, you know, a newspaper or, you know, articles written, and right. people could read the truth. The media was, you know, the truth teller, the middle, you know, ground, and now we don't have that anymore. And I'm sure people just watching the media interview, you know, Joe Biden when he was in Kenosha and versus the coverage that, you know, Trump got in Kenosha. I mean, it's just amazing. I actually have to watch C-SPAN now to see President Trump speak. The media is blotting him out.
Well, they're all doing it, including Fox News does the same thing.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
You can hardly see any of the speeches, and with the RNC it was very difficult. What you used to, you know, they used to run a convention. In fact, you know, I tell you what's even weirder with what you just said. While the RNC was running, Fox would talk over and not run it, but yet you could turn the radical station on and MSNBC or DNC, some say, or CNN mm-hmm. or any of those, and they actually were running the convention many times where you could hear it in the old days like it was done, and yet the supposedly fair and balanced stations of conservative stuff weren't doing that. Did you find that as well?
I did. And like I said, that this is my biggest concern because the people in this country are not getting the truth. They do on your show, and they do on a handful of other shows, but they're not seeing it on the mass media. Just not happening.
Well, no, and we've been talking and reporting on that for some time. And I'll tell you, I've gained so much respect. I'll say this for the first time with you, Aver. I've not said this publicly, but I have gained, and I sincerely mean this, a tremendous amount of respect. I mean, really big time for Tucker Carlson. He's the only one I could say to you I've gained that respect for, because I don't listen, watch, or follow any of these cats out there. I find most of them are not worth my time of the day. And I don't follow any of them, quite honestly, but I've gained a lot of respect for him because I find he, like I, is really trying to get to the truth, and his segments are worth watching, I find. Does that make you agree with that, or am I?
I do. I do. And I sense that Tucker has very big, I don't know how to say this. He has a lot of pressure on him, okay, in the background. You probably don't see it or hear about it, but I'm sure there are people in Fox who are pressuring him not to be so outspoken, not to be such an investigative reporter.
That's exactly it. And I'll make a prediction to you, Ava. I believe his days on Fox are numbered.
I think so, too. I do believe that.
I don't know how long that is. I can't say to you what that is, and I'm not going to predict that. But I do believe his days on that station are numbered. I think he will wear his welcome out sooner than later. We'll see when that happens. I don't know. You do believe at the end of the day, we'll somehow, maybe the glimmer of hope, we get up over the hurdle somehow. And can we stay short of a civil war in this country, I'm asking?
Well, you might be surprised at my answer. I think that President Trump will win this election in an avalanche, not a landslide. And why I say that, I'm seeing people that weren't for him in 2016. They've turned the corner. And because of the things he's done with the economy, with, you know, deregulation, trade deals, Middle East peace. I mean, this guy he's incredible, and he's kept his promises. So I think he's gained much more support than we even realize right now.
Yeah, that is so well said, Ava Armstrong, you're listening to there. And it's so well said what she says, that, you know, the word avalanche, I haven't heard it put that way. It makes me think a little bit, though, and I don't want to over-predict things, people, with any of you out there. Every vote matters, every vote counts, and you need to be out there and fight for liberty and fight for your Constitution and fight for your life, because it matters. So everything matters. We cannot count on anything to happen, but what she says is very interesting. And the question then becomes, are the American people paying attention? Well, we hope they are. But then the other question becomes, who are they watching and listening to? Which is really the common denominator, a lot of the things we've talked about here today in these election shenanigans. If things are being tainted and twisted and tormented, and we really don't get the truth to the American people, you know, I know the truth. You know, Ava knows the truth. You know, Dr. James Mitchell knows the truth. Bob France knows the truth. Many of you probably know the truth. But the question is, does the American people, do they know the truth? And the people to the left of that, those middle aisle, the Democrats and the moderates and the independents, do they know the truth? And that's where I desperately need your help. I plead with you to help me. My goal is to reach those people on this network. Please help me do that. Please invite them into America Out Loud. But more than that, invite them into Malcolm, please. I'll talk to them. Send them to me. Send them to my way. The independents, the moderates, the Democrats, all of this, please. And let's help these people with a pro-America, a pro-life message that matters. It matters, my fellow Americans. And what a great program here in developing all this with election shenanigans. Now, we have a second hour coming up with Michael Johns here. We'll get into more of this Election Day landslide. Interesting comments we have from political leaders in the past, which are fomenting this division we'll talk about here. The other thing about all of our America's cities, many that are bankrupt or running in bankrupt, and you see Pelosi trying to bail out money and use it COVID as an excuse kind of thing. That's another big story that nobody's talking about. We're going to talk about today. But really, it comes down to a lot of the divisiveness out there and the violence and what we can do about. So stay tuned for that second hour here. Help us get the message out there from sea to shining sea. Thank you, my fellow Americans, for being on the journey here. It's time to get involved and get loud.